before we open Scripture, would you bow with me in the need to pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with desire. I pray it is with fullness of desire, with a holy zeal, a holy passion to come into your presence, to look at your promises, to look at these wonderful bits and pieces of your great covenant to us through your Son. Lord, we ask that you would give this preacher sharpness of mind, focus. You give him courage and boldness to proclaim these wonderful words you have for us. That you would indeed be with our minds to mold them, to sharpen them, to soften hearts, to make us anxious in a good way, to open up this word, to apply it in our lives, to be like Bereans, and to find your Son, and to point and see, there he is. There are his promises. There is his work. There is his goodness. There is his glory for us. All for us, for our benefit, for our life with each other in him. Oh, be with us, Lord. Be with us. Teach us and guide us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll be reading from the Revelation to John, chapter 21, and I will be reading from verses 1 through 5. We will settle in verse 5, a great promise there, but we'll be reading these first 5 verses. And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. This is the word of the Lord. When John sees the holy city, when he experiences through this vision the passing away of the old, and the entrance of the new, adorned as a bride, when he sees the church of God, the new Jerusalem, that's you and me. That's all those who place their hope, who seek to love God with all their hearts, their souls, their minds, their strength. It's granted, it's a little difficult for a man to think of himself as part of being a bride. I don't quite understand that. But I have a better grip on a communion, a partaking, a sharing with my new life, with you, and with other Christians, other humans who so very much need the Lord Jesus, who very much cry out for Him, sometimes in pain, sometimes in grief, sometimes in a sorrow that's so deep and so heavy. But we are promised that on that day there will be no more pain, no more grieving, no more sorrow. But there will be a day of such a joy. Now for the younger guys out sitting down and listening, you may not have gone through sorrows. You may not have gone through a lot of grief. And I'll be honest, I have mixed feelings about that. I'm glad you have not. And I pray and mark my words. I don't say this cruelly. But you're a human being, and you're a fallen human being, and you're going to go through some real tough times, and you're going to cry, you're going to weep. Young men along with young women, you're going to weep. And there'll be times when you'll be tempted to think that you're weeping alone. But you will not be. Christ is there with you. You trust Him. You trust Him. You follow Him. You go against the brace. You go against a culture that hates Him, that doesn't care about Him. You keep going against that culture. You keep listening to your mom and your dad. You keep listening to those who love you. You keep listening to them. You keep listening to the scripture. You keep listening. You keep listening and reading and growing. And you'll find that as you weep, you will know that He's with you and He's holding your tears. That's what the Bible says. That He's retaining them. That He knows you and loves you. And there will be a day. And it's coming. It's coming. When there will be no more tears. That day when we see Christ face to face and we will be like Him. This is what John is talking about right now. The day when we meet Him as a bride. When we meet Him as our better half. When we meet Him as our King. When we meet Him as a friend. It's such an incredible vision. It's a real mountaintop vision here that John has. When he cries out, "Behold!" Not just the groom. But behold the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God is coming down. We will deal with this just a little bit later in the sermon with regards to the dwelling place, the tabernacle. There's a remarkable verse here. Absolutely wonderful. Great piece of text. And I want you to think about it during the proclamation of His word and during the sermon. It's in the second half of verse 3. When He talks of they shall be His people and God Himself will be with them and be their God. They shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and He will be their God. This is a reprise. This is the last reprise of this remarkable piece of text. This, we can follow this all the way to the Old Testament. I believe the first time it is mentioned is in Leviticus. And it goes all the way through the Bible, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the prophets. This great proclamation. It's a golden core. It's a golden and covenantal cord, actually. And it keeps the Bible together. And this one verse that I'd like to preach on. After He wipes away every tear. There should be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. That's hard to understand. That's a hard verse to understand. But it's connected to this great statement of faith for us, of fact for the Lord Jesus. For the former things have passed away. And then He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, here it is. I make all things new." I make all things new. I'd like to focus on this for today. Because this is the tabernacle of God speaking. This is the temple of God speaking. And no, we've got a speaking tabernacle, a speaking temple. We've got Christ as our tabernacle, Christ as the temple of God. Right here, coming down. Holding on to us. Living out the promise that He will be our God and we will be His people. from now on, this time, but perfectly, with no sin, no rebellion, no sorrow. Just Him and us together. He has made all things new. Behold, I make all things new. That is so hard for me to understand. That is so hard for me to understand. All this last week, people have been saying, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. And I've been one of them. I say, have a happy New Year. Have a joyous, blessed New Year. Have a joyous New Year. And in the back of my head, there's a cynical part. A New Year. And there's going to be new difficulties and new this and new that. New things getting in the way and new stresses and new... new temptations, or the same old temptations in new dress, new clothes, different forms. And it makes me want to be a little cynical. But I look back, and this is God, this is what I believe. The God of our Lord Jesus, our God, wants us to do. He wants us to recall the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. We have to recall that because we have to place our faith in this little passage right here. Behold, I make all things new, and not be tempted to be cynical. To look at this, and we have to drive in a sense through a rear view mirror because we've got to see what He's done in the past. See, this is how God plays it out. All through Scripture. Yes, he demands faith. Of course He demands faith. Without faith, no one will see God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But it's hard still to disarm, to take apart that one verse about the unseen faith and not seeing what you're hoping for. But how do I search for what I can't see? How do I hope for what I can't see? God gives us help. He doesn't just leave us out in the cold. He doesn't say, you don't understand that? Too bad. Next. He doesn't do that. God gives us steps. He gives us grips that we can hold on to them. And we can reach out and touch them. And it's just enough. And it gives us strength. And He also gives us the faith from heaven. He also gives us the faith of His Son. And that's the faith that enables us to see the unseen. But that, along with a history. And I just like to treat this as though I were preaching like the preacher in Hebrews in chapter 11. He sort of recalls a few things to a few aids, a few things to help himself, a few things to help those who are listening to him. I go back to creation. Now, this verse, I gotta say, this verse is very much in character, like John 3:16. Luther called John 3:16, he called that the Bible in a verse. And I was talking to a friend last week about that. And I said that, well, one of the great sermon series I had ever heard in my life was D. Martin Lloyd-Jones preaching on John 3:16, and it was something like 6 or 9 sermons on this one verse. And I thought, how could a man preach? And it's amazing what he pulls out of that scripture. And that way allows us to see the flow of God's word in this scripture. And we can see pretty much the same thing. Though I'm not capable of doing 6 or 7 or 9 or how many ever sermons on this. And I'm going to just give just a highlight of this. But I think it's beautiful. I think that it'll be encouraging. Because the years sometimes can get tough, and sometimes we can be we can forget how good God is and what He's given us, and we can tend to look at things out of context. And I want to look at this promise, to look at this great statement of fact on Jesus' side, and a great statement of faith on our side, and examine it just for a minute. So we go back to creation. We go back to the first five days. Let's say the first 5 days of creation. And the key phrase, the key statement of God is, let there be, let there be, let there be. And when He spoke, in the Latin it's called Vox Dei, the very voice of God, and He speaks, and it was. And if that's not good enough, if that's not new enough and wonderful enough, He counters us. He counters my doubts about his beauty, about his newness. He counters them by the very last commandment when he says, "Let us make." And there's a big difference. I was reading this great Puritan writer to help me out here a little bit. I'm William Ames, a great Puritan writer, man of God, and an amazing contrast between "Let there be," which is wonderful, and "Let us make." Let us make man. Let us make man in our own image. The royal, the magisterial love. Oh, he's outpouring his very character, his very face on us. And it's a personal creation now. Oh, yes. Yes, when he spoke out, you know, planets spun and rivers flowed and birds flew and deer ran and horses galloped and stampeded. Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. But the crown of his creation, he touched man. He formed man. And if that was not enough, he then breathed his spirit into man. And that was remarkable enough, but he breathed his spirit into us. And it's just it's an amazing foreshadowing of that day when Christ bent over to his disciples, the men who were going to be the apostles, and breathed into them. Breathed his life into them, reminding him of who they were by his creation, his almighty touch.
He shows it again. With this new start for Adam and Eve when they've sinned, they've fallen, and they're so ashamed. And with the forgiveness, even though they've gone against Him, they rebelled against God, He gives them new clothing. New clothing. They never worn clothing. Never the need for clothing. He gave them new clothing. New skin. New covering. A kind of an atonement. He covered them. He covered them with new skin that had been freshly cut, freshly slain. A kind of atonement pointing toward the great new atonement. The newness of God. The newness of His love. There are so many of these great pictures all through the Bible. It just flows with them. Abraham. Experiencing this newness of God. When he was given his name, Abraham. When he had been Abram. And he's been given a new name. And he's called to sacrifice his one and only son, his special son. And when he sees a ram caught in the thicket, and the angel of the Lord tells him, no, not to slay his son, but to slay this ram. And he sees the very picture of God's only son taking the death for his only son. What a new picture for this man. And he was able to spend his entire life thinking about that new picture, that what would become that new promise, the new covenant. All this newness in Scripture, even in the ancient text, when God creates a new nation. Through Abraham, it was a new people. And the patriarchs, a new people. But under Moses, it was a new nation. A new nation. God giving a new newness to His people. A new freedom from the bonds of slavery. A new land given by an elective love. They were given a new directory of worship. A new meeting place where they might meet their God in this tabernacle. and the tabernacle dwells with them. Christ dwells with them through the tabernacle. We see this in the prophets. We see the great promise of Jeremiah. He says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, the house of Judah." And Ezekiel says, "I will give them put a new life within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them hearts of flesh, newness." We see a growing picture here of God. Making himself clearer and clearer and clearer for his people. We see the great promise of the temple. Celebrating the very life of God with his people. Dwelling with his people. As he dwelt with them in the tabernacle. All of these things, and they're... There are so many more. There are so many more that celebrate the newness of God, the newness of his promises, the newness of his love for us. There are so many more of these. And all of these claim, all these embrace that great flowing, overarching promise of the Old Testament. And how it spreads on into the New Testament. How we see it through the face of Christ. How we see it in his work. How we see it in his character. How we see it in the Holy Spirit. That he has called us to be his people. And that God himself will be with them and will be their God. And that he will wipe away every tear. And there shall be no more death.
and there shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. When we see the fulfillment of all of this, when we see Christ as the temple, when we see his work perfected, when we grow in understanding that we're not dealing with types anymore. We're not dealing with things that you have to fold up and carry, put them in carts, move them, set them up, put them down in the old tabernacle. They're not stone, though it was beautiful stone. It was a lovely building, but they were types. They were pictures. And now we have the promise of dwelling with someone who is the very center of our existence. He's the very center of this world. He's the very center of this universe. And we're dwelling, we will dwell with him as we're dwelling with him now in spirit. But we will see him face to face. And commune with him. The temple made flesh. The promises made flesh. Come again with us. God with us. I weep. And I would assume that you weep. And sometimes I weep in fear. Sometimes in my sin, I weep in fear and in loneliness and in grieving. But there will be a day when I will weep no more, when you weep no more. And there will be a day come soon, Lord Jesus. There will be a day when he will wipe every tear from your face. Again, to some of the younger ones, this may not have an impact until a few years later. You may not fully understand this until a few years from now. but you will. But Christ has a promise. And He will keep that covenant with you. He will keep that promise with you. For He will be your tabernacle dwelling with you. The promise is sovereign. For He who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Pray that we're all in that holy city, or we are all that holy city. That we meet Him are betrothed to Him and have eternal communion with Him, who is the fulfillment of every promise. So that we, you know, we might see a new newness. Behold, I make all things new. These words are true. These words are faithful. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we ask You that by Your Spirit You would make Your thoughts, Your words resound in our hearts, Your promises stick to us, or that we would rather stick to them. That we would by Your grace and by Your goodness be gripped by this new covenant. Be gripped by this great promise. That we will see You, will become a part of You, and that we will be, as the church, married to You. We'll be Yours and You'll be ours. Lord Jesus, we thank You for this newness of this year, and we pray that it just continually reminds us of the newness of Your love for us. and how you truly have made all things new. And they await us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.